Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Nick Abbott.
More to come on your thoughts about this online safety bill. But first, let's go to Washington, talk to our US correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon.
Evening, Nick.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Now, wait for that, but there it is.
Yes, probably the last time I'll hear that until next year.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about Joe Biden, because in a video, I think back in 2020, I think he made a campaign video in which he reversed his car into his own garage, in which we now find was something that shouldn't have been there. What do you know about that?
Yes, and not just a car, not just any old car, but his much-coveted Corvette, which Republicans have been delightedly, gleefully pointing out the president owns, unlike, obviously, the vast majority of Americans who would really like to purchase one. But what we now know was contained in the garage was, among all the other things stored there, some classified documents that we learnt last night had been identified as part of this continuing sweep to see whether there are classified documents in other properties connected to the president that was sparked by the discovery on November the 2nd last year of some classified documents in an office that President Biden used to work out of here in Washington between 2017 and 2020. Those documents dating back to Joe Biden's time as Barack Obama's vice president, documents that the New York Times is reporting were briefing papers about foreign countries. We don't know which foreign countries. We don't know the level of classification that those documents or the ones discovered at the Biden residence and nestled alongside the Corvette in that garage related to either. But this is problematic for President Biden for a whole variety of reasons. First of all, he's the man who described it as completely irresponsible for Donald Trump to have squirreled away allegedly more than 300 classified documents that somehow made their way to his Mar-a-Lago estate rather than making their way into the National Archives as they should have done. Unlike Joe Biden, Donald Trump spent much of last year heavily pushing back against efforts by the National Archives to return those documents. And of course, it took that unannounced visit to Mar-a-Lago by the FBI to recover them and get them back into the hands of the National Archives where they properly are supposed to reside. But we saw today the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, doing for Joe Biden exactly what he did for Donald Trump. And that is appointing a special prosecutor. That's one of these quasi-independent prosecutors that will now probe whether Joe Biden, like Donald Trump, has mishandled some of the nation's secrets and decide whether to recommend any prosecutions in the case. That recommendation would then go to the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland. And you know, Merrick Garland, I think, had no choice but to appoint a special prosecutor today, because having done that for Donald Trump, because he concluded that was far too politically hot a potato for him to be tangling with as Attorney General, well, he really had to do exactly the same thing for Joe Biden. So this is potentially problematic for the White House. It means that this special prosecutor will have a budget. He'll have lawyers working for him. He'll have the power to gather evidence, interview witnesses. The White House says it's going to work fully and completely with the probe that's underway. But if the special prosecutor decided that anybody was unwilling to cooperate, he could issue subpoenas legally to compel them to testify. And the other thing that's difficult here is that, as you know, there is nothing Washington likes more than the smell of a cover-up. And this idea that Joe Biden knew a week before the midterm elections that these classified documents, these first batch of 10, had been discovered in that Washington office, told the Department of Justice, returned the documents to the National Archives, but then presumably spent the next week going to bed every night knowing that this story was out there and that at any point an enterprising investigative journalist might have received a leak that would then make a front page splash as we were heading towards those pretty closely contested midterm elections. I mean, that's quite an extraordinary decision for the president and his team to have made. And the Republicans, of course, I mean, they can't believe their luck, having taken over the House of Representatives just 9 days ago, vowing to prove that the Biden administration is an organized crime family and determined to haul leading members of the Department of Justice team up before committees to prove that they're all politically motivated in the witch hunt that they claim that is being meted out towards Donald Trump. Now, suddenly, they've got the scent of a cover-up in their nostrils, and they are absolutely determined to launch an investigation of their own into Joe Biden's handling of these documents.
How significant is it that this special investigator is actually a former Trump-appointed U.S. attorney?
Yeah, it's very interesting. An interesting choice by Merrick Garland. Robert Hur was appointed to be the district attorney for Maryland by Donald Trump. And it may well be that one of the reasons why he was selected was because he was nominated by Donald Trump. And again, the Department of Justice is trying to show that it's being even-handed here. We are in a pretty extraordinary situation, though. We've now got two presidents, two special prosecutors. The guy who is helming the investigation into Donald Trump's mishandling of classified documents is a former war crimes prosecutor. The special prosecutor appointed today to probe Joe Biden has been pursuing drug traffickers and gangland figures, and their talents, respectively, are now being brought to bear in these probes of two previous presidents, which is also, I mean, a pretty extraordinary moment in American politics.
Now, you talked about cover-up, but Joe Biden is not really guilty of a cover-up, because as soon as the documents were discovered, his lawyers alerted the various authorities necessary, and they were removed forthwith. Trump, on the other hand, tried to say that he could unclassify documents just by thinking it with his giant brain.
Yes, and I mean, I think it's worth underscoring that while a president of the United States does have the power to declassify documents, there is a process that is supposed to accompany that decision, and you can't just say, oh, I thought about declassifying that, so therefore it's declassified. A vice president, by contrast, which Joe Biden was when these documents ended up in his possession, as far as we can understand it, does not have the power through thought or any other kind of psychic activity to declassify documents. Now, you are absolutely right. Donald Trump's handling of his case involved enormous amounts of obfuscation, months of negotiations between the National Archives and the Trump team as the archives sought to get their hands on the papers, the Trump team refusing to hand them over. That led to the FBI raid. And indeed, Joe Biden, as far as we know, has fully cooperated. As soon as documents have been found, the Biden team says they were all handed over. I mean, we'll have to see how the Biden team can be certain that there are no more documents out there. They've certainly been engaged in a sweep of all the president's homes and offices and say that they have found no other documents beyond the ones that were lurking in the garage there in Delaware. But the cover-up is more relating to not being truthful to the American people. I mean, Joe Biden's a man who said when he came into office that, in contrast to his predecessor, when things went wrong, he was always going to shoot from the hip and give it to the American public straight. Well, 1 week before the midterm elections, to discover that you have, it would seem, mishandled some classified documents, albeit not to the extent of Donald Trump. But nonetheless, you know, you're not supposed to have these documents. They shouldn't be there. There are laws written that forbid that from occurring. and then not to disclose to the American public that this had happened. I mean, did they think this was never going to come out? They had to be aware that they were looking at a big problem and potentially an issue that in closely fought states where midterm congressional seats were up for grabs might just have swung some votes here and there. So it's more the question of whether there was a political decision not to tell the public that this had happened that the Republicans are now intent on probing.
Right. Just a word on Pete Buttigieg. He's the transport secretary. He used to be, I think his previous experience of politics was being the mayor of Bend, Indiana?
Or South Bend, to be precise.
South Bend.
As opposed to
North Bend. And he is the transport secretary now, but there are issues with transport in America, and the Republicans are suggesting that until he can fix them, he must fly economy on commercial flights rather than take a government plane.
Yes, and one of the reasons why the Republicans are going after Pete Buttigieg is not just because of the chaos that we've seen with, first of all, Southwest Airlines having to cancel 75% of its flights over the Christmas period and New Year period because of weather issues. But now, of course, that FAA technical glitch that saw all domestic flights grounded on Wednesday morning for a couple of hours across the United States, a glitch that first exhibited itself on Tuesday afternoon. It's not clear why they waited until Wednesday morning to ground the flights. But one of the reasons why they're going after Buttigieg is because he clearly has presidential aspirations. And in the, I think now, increasingly unlikely event that Joe Biden decides not to seek a second term in office, Buttigieg absolutely would be a principal challenger to Kamala Harris, the vice president, for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. So the Republicans are keen to nobble him, but they're also keen to say that he actually hasn't delivered on the pledges that he's made since he became transportation secretary to hold the airlines and now the FAA accountable. He's threatened. We don't have this system in the US that you've got over there, that when there are transport delays, you can automatically claim for compensation. Mm-hmm. There's none of that over here. And he's threatened the airlines with implementing that kind of compensation packages for delays, not implemented it, and the Southwest collapse over the New Year period, I think, underscored the need for some sort of attention to be paid to consumer protection. This FAA glitch has raised all sorts of questions about just how safe we all are in the air above the United States. I mean, I have to say, there was one particular aviation analyst on CNN yesterday who was literally saying, well, it's a miracle this doesn't happen more often. I mean, given how old these systems are. And the more he talked, the less I ever wanted to board a plane again. I mean, it was kind of terrifying stuff.
And it's hard for us to understand how wedded Americans are to flying within the states. They take flights like we take cabs.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. And particularly over the major holiday periods, I mean, the Thanksgiving period, the Christmas period, July the 4th. I mean, it is absolutely, you know, people don't even think twice about it. It's partly, of course, because it's a vast country. And if you live in Chicago and your aunt and uncle are out in Los Angeles, I mean, you're not going to drive it.
No.
But there's no question that there is a confrontation coming between the federal government and both the FAA and the airline industry. And there is also a confrontation coming between Republicans, particularly in the House of Representatives, and the Transportation Secretary.
Just briefly, how's Harry going down in America?
Well, it's inescapable, I have to say.
And is it?
Lord knows, I've tried to escape it, but he's on everywhere. I saw he was on with Stephen Colbert, I think, last night. The polling on this is not particularly encouraging for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. There was polling done just before the 60 Minutes interview aired, and the 60 Minutes interview did well here. It got 11 million viewers on the night, which is, you know, considered a pretty good result for that CBS magazine show. But, you know, they are not beloved by the American public. I mean, they have a favorability rating of Harry 28% and Meghan 23%.
Wow.
But what is interesting about the survey that was conducted most recently is that it shows they face a greater degree of unfavorability among white adult Americans than they do among black adult Americans. Only 8% of black adults say they have an unfavorable view of Meghan and Harry. 38% of white adult Americans say their view is unfavorable. I mean, the other interesting aspect of the poll is that the younger the American you ask, the more likely they are to have a positive opinion of the couple out in California.
Same here. Yeah.
And so there is a generational divide.
It's
synchronous with what's going on in the UK. Yes. Generational divide, absolutely. But look, I think there is less hostility towards them here than there is in the UK. But the numbers do not appear to be moving in their favour.
Simon, always a pleasure. Thanks for that. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Back to your calls about the online safety bill next.